Muy buenos días, Audiencia Latina. Soy el doctor Leonardo Claros, jefe de la sección de cirugía bariátrica y director del programa para la pérdida de peso del Hospital Red de Salud de St. Luke's. Como es costumbre, todos los sábados en la mañana, es un placer estar con ustedes en este su programa Hablando con su Doctor. Gracias por estar en sintonía en esta su radio Mega 106.9 FM Allentown, 99.5 FM Lehigh Valley y 92.9 FM Reading. Cada año, más de 3 millones de informes de abuso infantil se realizan en los Estados Unidos. Los niños más pequeños son los más vulnerables. Casi 27% de las víctimas reportadas tienen menos de 3 años de edad y miles de niños mueren cada año por causa de abuso o negligencia. Pero estas cifras podrían ser mucho más altas debido a los casos de abuso infantil no llegan a ser reportados todo el tiempo. Es una terrible epidemia a la que podríamos dar fin con acciones nuestras conjuntas como comunidad. Para hacer esto, primero debemos aumentar la conciencia sobre el problema en sí. ¿Qué es el abuso infantil? El maltrato infantil es cuando un padre o cuidador, ya sea por acción o por no actuar, causa lesiones, muerte, daño emocional o riesgo de daño grave a un niño. Hay muchas formas de maltrato infantil que incluyen negligencia, abuso físico, abuso sexual, explotación y abuso emocional. Si bien no existe una relación única o marcador que define un perpetrador o responsable del maltrato infantil, las personas que pasan la mayor parte del tiempo solas en la proximidad más cercana a los niños son abrumadoramente más propensos a abusar de ellas. Uno de los padres, el otro o ambos eran autores 90% del tiempo. Los Estados Unidos tienen uno de los peores récords de abuso mundial de abuso infantil en el mundo industrializado. Estudios independientes calculan de que uno de cada cuatro niños experimenta algún tipo de abuso o negligencia a lo largo de su vida en este país. Un reporte de abuso infantil se hace cada 10 segundos y como promedio, 5 niños mueren cada día debido al maltrato y abandono infantil. Más de 70% de estos niños tienen 2 años de edad o menos. En esta mañana vamos a hablar sobre abuso infantil. Y tengo como invitadas a Kelly Burke, que es directora del Programa de Iniciativas de Salud Materno-Infantil, y Sue Madeya, directora de enfermería en este programa. Ambas trabajan con nosotros en la red de salud St. Luke's. Damas, bienvenidas. Gracias por estar con nosotros. Ladies, welcome. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I was just giving an introduction about the topic today. And I would like to start is how common is child abuse in our community? ¿Cuán común es el abuso infantil en nuestra comunidad? Hablemos un poco sobre ciertos números, okay?
Child abuse is more common than we often like to admit. And in fact, in 2017, we had almost 5,000 substantiated cases of child abuse. And that really has increased from prior years. When we look at our actual local data, in Northampton County, we had about 1,226 suspected reports made, and 162 of them were actually substantiated cases, meaning they were confirmed cases of child abuse. In Lehigh County, we had about 1,592 reports, and 131 of them were suspected cases. So it is something that happens, but we don't really talk about it enough.
Hablábamos y Clay nos decía que hay estadísticas del informe anual de Pensilvania y solamente en el 2017 Pensilvania tiene aproximadamente 4,836 casos justificados de abuso infantil. Esto equivale a 1.8 niños por cada 1,000 y es un aumento representado con lo que tenemos en 2016. Nos decía que en el condado de North, de Carmel North, en 2017 tuvimos 1,226 informes sospechosos y 162 casos justificados. Y en Lehigh County tuvimos 1,592 informes y 131 casos justificados. Así que es mucho más común de lo que pensamos. Y es importante tener en cuenta que el maltrato infantil cruza todas las razas, etnias y antecedentes socioeconómicos. Are there any factors that put children or families more at risk? ¿Hay algún factor que ponga a los niños o a las familias en mayor riesgo de sufrir este tipo de maltrato?
Yes, there are factors that put families at risk. Families that do not have the resources to raise their children, lack of money, lack of food, trauma in the parents. Parents that have been abused themselves oftentimes will abuse their children or are more at risk to abuse their children. Abuse is often found in families with addiction, whether it be prescription drugs, illegal drugs. Families tend to not be able to supervise their children appropriately, and children end up getting hurt. They may have behavior problems because they're not getting the attention that they need, and then the parents cannot really, they can't handle the child, and they get frustrated, and they get impatient, and oftentimes they end up hurting the children. So there is many risks for child abuse within families.
Important to know that this is common and it crosses ethnicities, races, and socioeconomical status, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Anybody, any family can experience abuse.
Algunas de las familias que tienen, digamos, antecedentes o estuvieran en mayor riesgo de tener problemas de abuso infantil serían, pues, familias que están bajo estrés debido a problemas económicos, problemas con pobreza, el trauma, gente, digamos, que tiene familias que han tenido con traumas pero bastante importantes, y la adicción con drogas, cierto tipo de, digamos, actividades que podrían causar adicción, pues estas son las familias que tienen un mayor riesgo de tener problemas de abuso infantil. Si la familia no está en recursos, no tiene la madurez, no solamente económica, psicológica, el soporte familiar, ese núcleo familiar, pues tienen un mayor índice o riesgo de tener problemas de abuso infantil, y eso se ha visto a lo largo de muchos años. Kelly, ¿cuáles son algunas de las señales de advertencia del abuso infantil? What are some of the warning signs of child abuse?
There's many different warning signs that you might see in a child who's being abused, and most often they might feel really guilty or ashamed, and so that might cause them to actually withdraw, and they might not want to talk about it. They might withdraw from their friends. You might see a change in their behavior. They might get rebellious, defiant, even run away. If you do see any kind of physical signs of abuse or possible physical signs of abuse, it might be things like bruises, fractures, burns, or injuries that the child just can't explain where they came from. If a child is being sexually abused, they might actually display certain kinds of sexual behaviors that's inappropriate for their age, and so that would be an immediate red flag. Also, they could have a sexually transmitted infection, become pregnant, have, you know, blood or stains on their underclothes. They might have other kind of statements that seem inappropriate or sexual in nature. Emotional abuse signs can be a little different. Sometimes you'll see the child have a loss of their confidence, their self-esteem. They might avoid peers, and they might actually appear really depressed, or actually sometimes they do the opposite and seek affection from adults because they're not getting it at home. Sometimes children who are victims of abuse or maltreatment will have poor growth, weight gain. They might actually have poor hygiene because the family is not able to care for their needs. They might take food or money. They might hide food for later. And often they have poor records of attendance at school. So that can immediately be a red flag. So those are just some of the things, signs, and symptoms you might be wanting to, like, look for to see if you suspect a child is being abused in any way.
It's pretty disturbing. I was preparing for this and I realized that there's this horrific statistic that said that 80% of the perpetrators of abuse are the parents. In most of the cases are the parents. So the people that are more, you know, closer to them, and I was thinking that probably, like, people that will be taking care of them, you know, but a lot of times it's just the parents. It's really bad.
I think what Sue was saying earlier makes a lot of sense, though, because if families are feeling stressed for many different reasons, whether it's lack of resources, they don't know how to cope with their own issues or trauma, they don't know where to go, and they don't know where to go with those feelings. And so often that ends up being displaced, and it ends up harming the child. And it is really sad that it's often the parents. But it can be a cycle of abuse. And so it's important when we're talking about treating abuse in these children, that we're also thinking about treating the family, because that's the only way to really make a difference.
Un niño que está siendo abusado puede sentirse culpable, avergonzado, confundido. Es posible que tenga miedo de contarle a alguien sobre el abuso, especialmente si el abusador es un padre, otro familiar o amigo de la familia. Es por eso que es vital estar atento a algunas de las señales de advertencia, como si los niños están evitando amigos o actividades habituales, hay cambios de comportamiento, depresión, hay una aparente falta de supervisión, ausencias frecuentes en la escuela, pues estas son cosas que podrían alarmarnos o deberían alarmarnos y deberían pues levantar algunas señales. Signos y síntomas de abuso físico, hay lesiones inexplicables como moretones, fracturas o quemaduras. Lesiones que no coinciden con la explicación dada por los padres. 28.3% de adultos reportan haber sido abusados físicamente durante su infancia. Síntomas y signos de abuso sexual. Comportamiento sexual o conocimiento inapropiado para la edad del niño, embarazo, infecciones de transmisión sexual, sangre en la ropa interior del niño, declaraciones de que él o ella fueron abusados sexualmente, contacto sexual inapropiado con otros niños, son algunas de las señales que deberían pues levantar alarma de las personas o en niños que podrían estar siendo abusados. Signos y síntomas de abuso emocional incluyen desarrollo emocional tardío o inapropiado, pérdida de autoconfianza o autoestima, retirada social o pérdida de interés, entusiasmo, depresión, evitar ciertas situaciones como negarse ir a la escuela o tomar el autobús, buscar desesperadamente cariño cuando la persona, digamos, o el niño está siendo maltratado emocionalmente, una disminución en el rendimiento escolar o pérdida de interés en la escuela, pérdida de habilidades de desarrollo previamente adquiridas. Y algunos de los síntomas y signos de negligencia, pues pobre crecimiento, aumento de peso, sobrepeso, mala higiene, tal vez los niños no los están cuidando o alistando de la manera adecuada, falta de ropa, suministros, tomar comida o dinero sin permiso, ocultar comida para más tarde y eventualmente pobre asistencia o registro de asistencia escolar. Estos son algunos de los signos y síntomas que tenemos que tener en cuenta, que si algunos niños los están demostrando, pues hay que una vez más estar al tanto de ellos y reportarlos a las autoridades si es que fuera necesario. Mauro, adiós, escucha, soy el doctor Leonardo Claros. Hoy día, sábado en la mañana, en este programa Hablando con su Doctor, estamos discutiendo sobre el abuso infantil. Mis invitadas el día de esta mañana son Kelly Burke y además Sue Madeya, y estamos una vez más discutiendo lo que es abuso infantil. Sigamos adelante. ¿Qué es un reportero obligatorio? Quisiera hablar un poco, si la gente, digamos, ve este tipo de problemas, ¿qué es lo que deberíamos hacer? ¿Qué es un reportero obligatorio? So, let's talk about if we see some of the signs or symptoms or of abuse or negligence, what is a mandated reporter?
So under Pennsylvania law, a mandated reporter is an individual who by their profession are required legally to report suspicion of child abuse or actual child abuse if they observe it. There's laws in place in Pennsylvania that are to protect children, and the laws recently updated actually increased those individuals that are required to report. And some of those additional individuals are child care workers. Teachers, of course, have always been mandated reporters, but volunteers that work with children in service agencies, perhaps like the Y, you know, the YMCA, the YWCA, where they might have children interacting. Any place where an individual interacts with children and they observe or suspect child abuse, they really are required to report it to the authorities. Usually done via Childline, which is a telephone number, or via website, which can be done as well through Kids Keep Kids Safe, which is the website.
This includes healthcare personnel, right?
Absolutely. Nurses, doctors, absolutely. We don't want to forget those because they are mandated reporters. Every healthcare worker is a mandated reporter.
Un reportero obligatorio es una persona que, debido a su profesión, está legalmente obligada a denunciar cualquier sospecha de abuso o negligencia infantil a las autoridades pertinentes. Estas leyes en Pensilvania están vigentes para evitar que se maltrate a los niños y para ponerle fin a cualquier posible abuso o negligencia en la etapa más temprana posible. Los reporteros obligatorios generalmente son personas que están en contacto directo con los niños como parte de su empleo, su trabajo o profesión, o como voluntarios en los programas a los que atienden los niños. Y en este caso, por ejemplo, nos decía Sue que algunos de los ejemplos obviamente son trabajadores sociales, médicos. Hay gente que trabaja, digamos, con niños en algunas instituciones como The Y, en el YMCA. Y obviamente la gente que trabaja en el personal de salud, o sea, las enfermeras, gente que trabaja directamente en el hospital, los asistentes de doctores, los médicos, obviamente. Así que todos ellos tienen que, por ley, obligatoriamente reportar cualquier de este tipo de problemas para evitar el abuso infantil. Así que algo que tenían que tomar muy en cuenta. Si alguien sospecha de abuso infantil, Kelly, ¿qué es lo que debemos hacer o a quién se debería contar? If someone suspects child abuse, what should they do? Who should they call?
If someone suspects child abuse, the first thing you should do is call Childline. It's really simple, and I'll give you the number now. It's 1-800-932-0313. When you call Childline, you'll be connected with an operator who will listen to and take the information that you provide. Even if you don't have all the information, that's okay. As much as you can give can help them to decide whether or not they should open a case and investigate it. If you suspect child abuse, it's not about deciding, is this abuse or is this not abuse? It's more important just to call and make that call so that you're helping protect that child. There might be more going on, or there might not be anything going on, but it doesn't hurt, and it's not really necessarily your job to make the decision, is this a case for child abuse or not? It's just all of our job from a community's perspective to protect children and give them the best chance and opportunity to thrive and be healthy and be in a safe environment.
Si alguien sospecha de que un niño está siendo abusado, de que hay un problema de abuso infantil, nos decía Kelly de que es algo muy fácil el hacer un reporte para este tipo de abuso. Hay que llamar al número 1-800-932-0313. Lo vamos a decir una vez más. El número a llamar es 1-800-932-0313. Esa persona que está haciendo la llamada o el reporte va a ser conectado con una operadora, y la operadora le va a hacer algunas preguntas y se les va a decir, obviamente, un mínimo de información que provean sobre este tipo de reporte que están haciendo, y ellos pues van a tomar en sus manos el caso. No necesariamente a la primera llamada cosas van a ocurrir. Podría estar, digamos, ocurriendo una historia de abuso, podría, no sé, pero no es la responsabilidad de la persona que está reportando decidir eso. Nosotros deberíamos avisar, reportar a las autoridades cuando sospechamos que un niño está siendo abusado. Y obviamente una investigación se va a abrir y ellos ya determinarán, más bien dicho, si el abuso está ocurriendo o no. Así que es importantísimo reportar este tipo de cosas. Is the reporting anonymous? When you call, what kind of information should you give yourself? I would imagine a lot of people are reluctant to call, not only because, you know, they're probably not sure, but maybe they fear retaliation. Hay que dar información personal cuando uno está reportando este tipo de abusos.
Yes, you can. Your information as the caller will remain anonymous, so you don't have to worry about that. They may ask for your name. You can give your name, but they will not disclose your name. Even if you're a mandated reporter, they will not disclose your name to the family. So I think that's really important. That people don't feel afraid to call, because there shouldn't be any retaliation. They are not going to disclose who you are and that you made the report.
Nos hablaba Kelly de que cuando una persona llama y hace este tipo de reportes, lo pueden hacer de manera anónima. Usted puede dar su nombre si así lo desea, pero la persona que está hablando con usted no va a divulgar, no va a revelar la persona que está haciendo este tipo de reporte. No lo hacen con los médicos, no lo hacen con las personas, así que no tendría que usted tener miedo de que alguien, digamos, vaya a retaliar en contra de usted, o se vaya a, digamos, enojar o a causarle un problema, porque si usted está realmente preocupada, si usted tiene esa preocupación de que ese niño podría estar siendo abusado, es importante que lo reporte. Substance abuse and child maltreatment are tragically and undeniably linked. There is, you know, as many as 2/3 of the people in treatment for drug abuse reported being abused or neglected as children. And, you know, I was reading that 14% of all men in prison and 36% of women in prison in the U.S. were abused as children, about twice the frequency seen in the general population. And children who experience child abuse and neglect are about 9 times more likely to become involved in criminal activity. And I think it comes back, you know, to what you were talking at the beginning. If that family circle is not ready or doesn't have the means to take care for their kids, I think they're more likely to abuse their kids. And this will have, like, pretty bad repercussions, you know, in that child's life for the rest of their lives. Is there anything that how can I actually ask you that? Is there anything that we have seen as a society maybe over the last decades that this is improving? Is it getting worse? What is your experience with this? I mean, are we making progress with this at all? It's just so depressing.
Well, there's a lot of programs out there that, you know, with the increase in child abuse reports and substantiations, and some of the well-known cases that have been in the news, there have been a lot of programming and support put in from the federal and the state government. So programs supporting parents that have addiction, you know, issues, supporting parents in general with parenting classes, identifying it. The important part is identifying earlier before something happens, because we'd rather not see a child abused. There are home visiting programs that are out there, puts nurses or social workers into homes to help families. So they may identify, you know, a family that's higher, has a risk factors. They can link them to supports that they may need. This all helps reduce, you know, the risk of abuse with the families. Opioid addiction is a huge issue now. There are a lot of programs supporting pregnant moms as well as new moms with both treatment for their addiction, but also the resources to help them, you know, get well and be able to care for their child or children appropriately.
El abuso de sustancias y el maltrato infantil están trágicamente innegablemente vinculados. Hasta 2/3 de las personas en tratamiento por abuso de drogas informan haber sido maltratadas o descuidadas como niños. Decía que el 14% de todos los hombres en prisión y el 36% de las mujeres en prisión en los Estados Unidos sufrieron abusos cuando eran niños, aproximadamente el doble de la frecuencia que se observa en la población general. Y los niños que sufren maltrato y abandono infantil son aproximadamente 9 veces más propensos a participar en actividades delictivas. Hay un esfuerzo comunitario a nivel federal, a nivel del gobierno, que están tratando de disminuir este tipo de problemas, pero la verdad que las estadísticas son realmente deprimentes. ¿Qué tipos de cosas podría hacer una persona promedio para prevenir el abuso infantil? So, what types of things could the average person do to prevent child abuse?
I think some of the basic things that we can do are just trying to offer support to others. If you see your neighbor, a friend, or somebody who's, you know, close to you that seems really stressed, like they're having a hard time helping out, you know, their own children or, you know, going through the motions of their daily life, try to help them out. I think we've moved away from a society where we've had a lot of community support. And so those adults who've experienced trauma in their own life that are lacking the support from their community are being set up for failure. So the more that we can reach out and help those families, the better. That can be something as simple as, hey, I can watch your kids for an hour while you unload the groceries. Or do you need some help with this? I could come over and just sit with you and we can make this happen. Or, hey, did you hear about this community program? I know they have nurses that come in and they help new moms. This might be helpful for you. The other thing is, if we're having families who are struggling with addiction or mental health issues, encourage them to seek support. Encourage them to see a counselor. Try to help them in any way that you can. Be positive, you know, voice in a child's life. Try to listen to the kids that you're surrounded by. If you feel like something's happening there, don't be afraid to make a call to Childline. Get to know your neighbors. That's the other thing. We're so closed off. And so I think the more that we take that community approach and that perspective of helping others and really being a village, the better we'll all be. And so those are just some really small ways in which you can help. And, you know, even something as simple as volunteering at organizations to help kids in any way, whether it is at your local Y or it's, you know, a parks program, something like that can go a long way to helping a child and improving their life, or even improving a teen or a teen parent's life. So again, just some really simple ways that we can work together as a community to help others.
Kelly nos hablaba de que algunas de las cosas que podemos hacer como personas promedios para prevenir el abuso infantil es ofrecer apoyo a las familias que están estresadas, ofrecer comentarios positivos a los padres de un niño, voluntariar en organizaciones que apoyan a las familias y niños, ayudar con el cuidado de niños para amigos, vecinos y familiares en momentos de necesidad, tal vez ofrecer el cuidar a los niños mientras están haciendo alguna actividad, mientras están descargando los víveres, las compras de la semana, conocer a los vecinos en la comunidad y obviamente que si se sospecha que un niño está siendo abusado, pues llamar a la línea de protección infantil, al número que habíamos dado anteriormente. Kelly nos decía que nos estamos olvidando hacer comunidad, deberíamos ayudarnos. Si usted tiene interés en hacer eso, pues se pueden hacer un montón de cosas, digamos, para evitar el abuso infantil. Estimado radioescucha, soy el Dr. Leonardo Claros. Este es su programa Hablando con su Doctor. Estamos hablando sobre el abuso infantil. Are there programs to help families in our community with this problem? ¿Hay programas, digamos, que están diseñados para ayudar a las familias? Hablemos un poco sobre eso, Sue.
Yes, there are programs. You know, there are parenting programs. Project Child, which is the child abuse prevention nonprofit in the Lehigh Valley, actually provides parenting classes to families that may be in need. As both Kelly and I mentioned, the home visiting programs, both the Health Bureau and St. Luke's and the VNA in Allentown and Bethlehem and Easton have home visiting programs for pregnant and new moms that really help support the moms in whatever way they need it, and it links them to the resources that they need. Safe Haven, of course, is the program, statewide program for moms that may decide they don't want to keep their baby. So they may have their baby and, you know, in the bathroom somewhere at home, and they decide they don't want to care for the baby. They can take that baby to a location, and that baby can be safe. Those locations are generally fire departments or hospitals. And most churches, a lot of the hospitals locally and fire departments, even some of them have setups where they have a place to place the baby. And there's no information that they need to actually give most of the time. Strong communities, social support from, you know, counselors, from guidance counselors in school, individuals that may, you know, need therapy and support can find support groups. Lehigh Valley Hospital and St. Luke's both have support groups for new moms. And Project Child, of course, has other types of programs. They do plays around child, you know, abuse prevention. And there's also a new initiative out of the state called Plans of Safe Care, which is for the families that may be suffering from abuse, addiction, substance misuse, including prescription and non-prescription illegal drugs, as well as marijuana. So it's a voluntary program, but families, moms specifically, can get the help before they actually deliver their baby. And more importantly, when they deliver their baby and they may be struggling with their addiction and with their issues. And it is a supportive program from a collaborative group of individuals that helps them to get through the early process with their new baby.
una variedad de servicios y ayuda que tenemos en la comunidad. Su nos estaba recordando algunas de esas cosas, así que una vez más los invito a revisar este tipo de ayuda o sitios que tenemos para las personas en la comunidad. Kelly, para terminar un poco, ¿qué más se puede hacer para demostrar el apoyo y crear conciencia? Kelly, wrapping it up, what else can I do to show support and bring awareness?
April is actually Child Abuse Prevention Month. So one of the simple things you can do is just wear blue or a blue pin, a blue ribbon, just to let everybody know that you are thinking about this and that we can come together as a community to kind of tackle this really challenging issue. You know, you can donate time or money to organizations that help children or that focus on prevention, like Project Child or home visiting programs in your community. Other things you can do is just really be a positive source, a force in a child's life and in a family's life. Offer help. If you see people who are struggling, give them a hand. I think coming together again as a community just to give everybody a little extra support, a little extra time, and a little effort into a kid and a family's lives can go a real long way. So I think the more that we do in our community to help others, the better we can work towards solving this challenging problem.
Podemos demostrar apoyo vistiendo pines azules o el color azul durante el mes de abril, que es el mes de recordar o crear, digamos, apoyo para el abuso infantil. Podemos donar tiempo, dinero a programas que se centren en la prevención o en ayudar a los niños abusados. Y en general, podemos ser una fuerza positiva en la vida de un niño. Kelly, Sue, gracias por estar con nosotros esta mañana. Thank you so much for coming this morning. This was a tough program. Learning about those things, but it's nice to hear that there's help in the community. And on behalf of the Hispanic community, I really thank you both for your help and your work.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Estimado Radio Escucha, si usted desea obtener más información, contáctenos en el www.slhn.org o en mi página web en el www.leonardoclarosendi.com. Gracias por estar con nosotros. Será hasta la próxima semana.